Let's just open the word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can come into your very presence. We thank you for that invitation that you give us. And we thank you for your love for us as we have been singing. Light of the world, you stepped out of darkness into the light. And we pray that as we look into your word today, that you might bless it to our hearts. And we give you thanks, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if you as a little kid or when you were a little kid and heard about the rapture of the church, if it caused you to stop and to consider and maybe even to give your heart to the Lord because of the fact that he could come at any moment. And the Bible teaches the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And when he does return and come back for his church, his bride, the period of the grace to us, to the church, will end. It will stop. And so when we look into the scripture today, we're going to look into again at Thessalonians. Now, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, the apostles, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." Now, has he gone? Has Jesus gone? Yes, he's gone. And he said that if he went, then he would come again. And so if he kept his promise the first time, he said also to his disciples that he would lay down his life, and on the third day he would rise again from the dead. Did he? I only hear one voice. Did he? He did, didn't he? Yes, Jesus rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, we know that Christ is alive. And the reason that he died was he died to pay the penalty for our sins. And so when we look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll find an amazing thing happened. These people were idolaters. They worshipped other gods. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy came to the city of Thessalonica and he preached the word. And this is what happened. It says, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Greece and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." So we know about what happened in Thessalonica, in Westlock, right? And other parts of the world. The message rang out to everyone everywhere. "Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us." Now here's a witness that is going out about the Thessalonians. That people are carrying. Do you know what happened in Thessalonica? These people were turned around. They tell how you turn to God from idols. Now, the word "turn" here is a nautical word. It's a sailing word, a sailor's word. And it's metanoia. That's the Greek word. And when the captain on the bow shouted metanoia, he was saying, "Repent, turn around, we are headed for the rocks." This is a nautical term. If you don't turn around, we will be on the rocks. And so the man on the wheel would crank that wheel and the ship would turn, right, 180 degrees and get out of there and not land on the rocks. And so they turned 180 degrees from idols to the living God, to serve Him, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. It's an amazing testimony, isn't it? These were idol worshipers. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 17, it says, "And when they had passed through Apollonia and Amphipolis, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue." Now, Paul was a Jew, and he headed for where there were God-fearing people. So he went to the synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scripture. Now, is this the third Sunday after? There was the Palm Sunday, then Easter Sunday, third Sunday. He had three Sabbath days to preach in Thessalonica. So he preached for 3 days and reasoned with them from the Scripture. He explained and proving that Jesus was the Christ, that Christ had to suffer and raise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." So Paul went in and he said, "Jesus rose from the dead, and He paid for your sins on the cross, and because God accepted His sacrifice on your behalf, He was raised from the dead, and now you can go free from your sin. You are idol worshipers, but now you can have freedom from your past life and be set free." And it says some of the Jews were persuaded. Some of those Jewish people said, "Oh, yeah, we studied the Old Testament." And then it goes on to say, "And joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women." So there's a big movement, only 3 days. But now, if you went down to verse 10, it says, these Jewish jealous others stirred up a rabble-rousing crowd and drove Paul out of Thessalonica. So for three Sunday or Sabbaths, he preached the word to them. They heard the message. They realized that Jesus came and paid for their sins. And now Paul is driven out. And this looks like a disaster, doesn't it? Now, would you be comfortable to know that the gospel has only been preached here for three Sundays? And now everything's closed down. You can't come. It's not going to happen. And the one who shared the message is also gone. And so that was the situation with the Thessalonians. And so sometimes disaster comes upon the church. There's a story about what happened in Newfoundland. There's a fishing village, and all the men went out in their fishing gear with their ships or with and boats. A great storm came, and it's a true story. The women and the children were afraid. They were not going to have any more husbands. And so they all gathered, and they gathered for prayer. And they prayed. And suddenly they realized that one of the cottages, the houses of the in the village, was on fire. And they rushed over to the house, but they failed in their attempt, and the fire was not able to be extinguished and put out. But in the morning, the wind had died, and they looked out, and there were all the ships, all the fishing vessels, And there's rejoicing except for one lady. And she went to her husband and said, "I'm really sorry. Our house burnt down in the night." And he said to her, "Oh, honey, I'm so glad. Because if it hadn't been for that fire, we would never got into the bay and be safe." Sometimes God allows disaster to happen to bring us greater blessing. That's what happened in Thessalonica. Paul was driven out, and so we have a letter written. And what happened was, while Paul was gone, this large community of who had trusted Christ, some of them must have been older, or something happened, because there were people that died. And then they're asking, "Yeah, we heard about the message that Christ is going to come back at any time, and now he hasn't come back, and there are people that have died. So where are they?" And so Paul had to finish his messages. He told them that Christ's imminent return, he was going to come back, but they didn't know how and they didn't know when. And so when we get into the book of Thessalonians, we find that Paul begins to deal with that problem, the problem of the rapture. It's called metanoia, the rapture. It's spoken of here in chapter 4. And so he addresses that problem. He says, "Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep." Now we're 2,000 years later on, and there's a lot of Christians that have fallen asleep. They have passed away. And so Paul is addressing that problem. He said, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that Jesus will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep." So when we die, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. And so our body's in the grave, our spirit's in heaven, and now it says, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring Jesus, with Jesus, those who have fallen asleep." What's he talking about? People that are asleep in heaven? No. He's bringing those people who have died and their spirits are in heaven, and they're going to come back, and they're going to be united with their bodies, and there's going to be a great stirring in our cemeteries, and the people who have died will be reunited, but this time it will be with a perfect heavenly spiritual body. It may look exactly like what we did, but now there's no more pain, there's no more sickness, there's no more death, and we'll live forever. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we die, we only change our address. But someday, there's going to be a rapture. And then think of it. What if it happened right now? Would we watch and suddenly see this great transformation of Ken? A great transformation. And we'll have this spiritual body and we're gone? As the Bible tells us, it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. That's in a mega fraction of a second. And then those who were dead in the grave will catch up to them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that good news? Can we face any kind of pandemic with that kind of promise? Yes, we can. You know why? Because there's a much worse pandemic going on today. The pandemic of sin. Our pandemic right now is about 1%. fatal. But the pandemic of sin is 100%. The wages of sin is death. All. Did you hear that word? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so when Jesus died, he came and he gave us the antidote for sin, his blood. And his blood in our veins gives us regeneration. That's not a progress. That's something that happens. It's new birth. We are born into God's family. And do I have to work for it? No. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And so we can all have that gift. And it was open to all the Thessalonians who were idol worshipers. And now they have the information that they need about what happened to their loved ones in the grave. They're going to be raised with us. Hallelujah, right? Okay. Now, we need to be prepared. We need to prepare because Jesus is coming again. He said the Thessalonians turned to God from idols. Then it says to serve the living and the true God. They left their idols and they burned their idols and they followed the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. And so we're in the waiting period, waiting for Jesus to come back. Someday I'll be maybe somewhere in the kitchen and we're going to leave together. You're wondering what I was going to say that morning. Well, yeah, the rapture will happen and we'll be out of here. Yeah, but then there's three different theories by Christians of the rapture. First of all, there's the post-tribulation rapture. It means there's a terrible time coming on the earth. It's really not very hard to see that this time is coming. Things are getting worse. They're worse now than when I was a boy. They're worse now, it seems, since this pandemic has started. But things are going to get bad. And there's the theory that the church will have to go through that tribulation time. And so that's one of the theories. A second theory is there's the there's the mid-tribulation rapture. The church is taken out during that. There's a 7-year period of time. And at the middle, which is 42 months, the church will be taken out. And then there's the pre-tribulation rapture. I hold to the pre-tribulation rapture because would you send your bride through a terrible time of persecution and death and all those kinds of things? And we find that it seems that the strongest case is that no, Jesus, who is the bridegroom, he knows how to rescue us. And in the last verse of 1 Thessalonians 10, or 1 and 10, it says, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. You know, the world and all their coming at Christianity are going to lose. God is going to bring in judgment. And his judgment is final. And his judgment is in such a way that he is able to rescue those who are his. And if you want to write down this chapter, you should. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood, that's the Noah flood, on its ungodly people, but protected Noah and his family, seven others, and if he condemned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and burnt it to ashes, if he received Lot and was able to deliver righteous Lot, a man who lived in that city, then it goes on to verse 9. It says, if this is so, if he is able to deliver Noah in a boat, he was able to drag Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trial and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. Men and women and boys and all people here, there is judgment coming. No question about it. God has not lost his position in the heavens, and there is judgment coming. When you start hearing some of the terrible, awful things that are happening, the kidnapping of young children to be prostitutes, all the things that are happening in our world, God is going to judge. He is going to judge. And he knows how to deliver you and I from his judgment. And it's because of Christ's death on the cross for us. Because our sins have been paid. Is there going to be a judgment? Oh, yes, there is. And then if we went back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we will find in that chapter that God makes a distinction. The rapture separates. The rapture separates the godly from the ungodly. It says, now, brothers, about times and seasons. Do we have to worry about that? No. Can we worry about it? If we set dates, we are making a huge biblical error, because it says angels don't know the time, men don't know the time, even the Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son, doesn't know the time, and it's been left in the hands of God the Father, which if you did a real study in Judaism, you would find that is how couples are brought into a marriage relationship. Father tells the son to go home and build a house, and then he says, when the house is finished, the son doesn't make that distinction. It says, God the Father does. He says, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. In my Father's house are many mansions. We are having a place prepared for us, his bride. And someday, God the Father will say, today's the day, and Jesus will come, it's over. And so let's go through this. Now, brothers, about times and seasons, we dare not need to write to you. And don't waste your time, because you're not going to get it right, and you're not supposed to be trying to set up the time when Jesus is coming. But do we read the signs? Yes. We should know the times that we're living in, that we're getting close. For we know it very well that the day of the Lord, and that's the day of judgment, will come, how? Like a thief in the night. Are you ready for thieves? Was I ready for the person that broke into my car at 3 in the morning? And I suddenly woke up and looked out the window, and the lights in my garage are on, and the lights in my car are on. Was I prepared? I don't even think I had it locked that night. But the thief didn't know that I was looking out the window, and when I ran out, he was gone. He was gone, and he didn't get anything. Anyway, enough of that. Thieves come in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, you know, Lord Chamberlain said that just before the Second World War started. He went and made an appeasement to Hitler. And he said, peace and safety in our time. It wasn't any time before war broke out. Peace and safety. Destruction will come on them as labor on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, and you are not of the darkness, so that this day, this judgment day, will not surprise us as a thief. You are all sons, not partial. There won't be some left behind and some raptured. Just a little argument for we are not like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, when do they sleep? In the night. And those who get drunk, when do they get drunk? In the night. But since we belong to the day, if you have Jesus, who is the light of the world, living in our hearts, and we're following him, we are of the day and not of the night. Put on faith and love as a breastplate to protect your heart, and the hope of salvation, the helmet of salvation. He, and going on, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. He didn't. He's not going to push us through this terrible time that's coming. He's going to take his bride, the church, home. And I think that that's a great encouragement. And Paul told the Thessalonians that God is, he was going to keep them from the wrath of God that's coming upon the earth. It says he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, now he's talking about real being awake and real being asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So the rapture is coming. Jesus is coming back. He could come in an instant. If he came today, would you be on your way with him? You can be, just like the Thessalonian people that put their faith and trust in the fact that Jesus died and was buried and that he rose again to pay the penalty for their sin. And that's how we know. Child of God, we put our faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. And then he can come at any time. We're ready. And do we have to fear any pandemic?
No.
You're getting better. No. No. And so that's why we again had another look at this chapter now. In your mind, I want you to look at and write this down, okay? Write down John chapter 14, 1 through 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So that's the first mention of the possibility of Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place, I will come back, okay? Then we should write down 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through to the end of chapter 5 and verse 11. That tells the rapture of the church and Paul's explanation to the Thessalonian church. Then what is the attitude that we will see in the final days? And we'll say, where is the promise of his coming? You ever heard that? Slow is the second coming of Christ. You know what? When somebody says that, they're fulfilling Scripture. That's what the Bible says that they would say. It also tells us that they will be saying, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Nonsense. There has been a global flood that changed our world, and that was the Noah flood. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 3. So they will be saying, where's the promise of his coming? They will be those who are asleep, and they won't know. And the thief, Jesus Christ, will come back. The thief in the night. And so write that chapter down and read it really carefully. And write down 2 Peter chapter 2. It talks about how Jesus and God knows how to deliver his own, his righteous one. So, one of the best definitions of uniformitarian evolution was written by Peter. You can read it. And I'm not going to go into that. But it says, everything goes on as it has from the beginning. Very good definition. No, it hasn't. There have been terrible disasters in this world. And our timetable, we need to realize, is not the same as God's timetable. It says in this chapter, it says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Just remember, I'm getting on. This next birthday, I'll be 80. You know, that's only a drop in the bucket. That's not even, the sun is only getting up in God's economy. If a day is 1,000 years, it's hardly even getting started, and my life is over. So we need to be prepared, because God is coming back. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this teaching that we had to get, because it looked like a disaster happened in Thessalonica when Paul and Silas, Timothy, were driven out of there. He had to write to them and reassure them that God was able to deliver them and their loved ones to be taken to be with you forever. So Lord, help us in these difficult days to continue to watch, to wait, to pray, to wait for your coming, and to be alert so that we won't be found asleep. We pray in Jesus' name. I can't see the clock, and maybe that's a good thing. Yeah. What time is it? Okay.